Bananas are disturbing.
Hamanamana. Pizza.
Hamanamana.
Pizza.
Hamanamana.
Hamanamana.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to Sneaky Dragon. I am one half of the hosts, Ian Boothby.
And I am one half of the hosts, David Dedrick.
Together we form a whole lot of trouble.
That's right.
Yeah.
You made me laugh.
Yeah, that would have worked in a 1950s podcast where they would have found that adorable.
Yes, a very popular form of broadcasting.
Yeah.
Podcasting.
Back then.
In the 1950s.
But much more racist.
Hello, Mrs. America and all the Mr. and Mrs. America and all the ships at sea.
That's right. We're excited because this is the first Sneaky Dragon podcast to go out actually in the Year of the Dragon.
Happy New Year.
Happy Gung Hei Fat Choi to all of you.
Kung Hei Fat Joy.
That was a really good TV show in the 70s. Remember that?
Yeah, I love that show.
The Kung Hei Fat Joy Luck Club, where David Carradine crossed the country with a pair of pants that would fit anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And good people only. And they try on the pants like, you're a good man. And if you did not fit the pants, he would beat you up.
I remember that show quite well, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Your little description of it was so evocative of the show that it's almost like I was watching it again.
Do you know that Bruce Lee was originally offered that role and went, I'm not fucking doing that?
No, he didn't fit the pants.
No, he didn't fit the pants.
He didn't want to get beat up.
No. And also, it was a horrible idea for a show. But I'm very surprised that Bruce Lee swore so casually.
Yeah.
It's a shame. It's a shame that he would use that kind of language. I would never use that kind of language.
I think so too.
But welcome to the first Sneaky Dragon of the Year of the Dragon. And I'm going to start off with my first complaint of the year, which is the dragon should not be part of the Chinese New Year calendar. It should not be.
Please explain.
Well, I will explain. If you would just give me a second to get a word in edgewise.
Sorry.
Yeah, please. You look on the calendar, and you got like your rats, you got rabbits, you got sheep, and then all of a sudden, a dragon shows up.
I forgot about rabbits.
Yeah, what's that about? How did the dragon show? It's like a petting zoo, and then all of a sudden, a unicorn just wanders in, and everyone goes, "Yeah, that's cool." It's like, what the hell? Why is a dragon? Why is the mythological animal? Mm-hmm. It's like the Sphinx all of a sudden drops by in the pet shop.
Well, you're forgetting about the Year of the Sphinx, the Year of the Manticore, the Year of the Griffin.
Right, and those are not on the Chinese calendar. And
nope, they're not. Oh,
no, whose calendar are those on?
I think Babylonian.
Babylonian?
Yeah.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Okay, well, I've got my calendar of calendars here, which lists all the New Years. It's just a calendar that just lists all the New Years of the different calendars.
Okay.
It's actually useless as a calendar, aside from listing all the other calendars. And I think my Mayan calendar, yeah, it just stops halfway through this
year. If you look at the Mayan calendar, it's the year of the dehearted virgin.
Oh, that's okay.
Actually, every year in the Mayan calendar is the year of the dehearted virgin.
Which is also the name of an 80s movie. It was an 80s kind of, sex
yeah.
romp,
yep.
you know.
Yeah, dehearted virgins and parachute pants.
That's right. But I really don't think, like, the dragon does not belong in there. Like, to be fair, though, if you were, it's hard to kick him out. If he shows up to the auditions and yes. you're, say, a rat,
mm-hmm.
you can't, like, turn to the sheep and go, hey, sheep, why don't you tell the dragon to get yeah. lost? He's not real.
Because
yeah. the dragon's just going to burn the sheep
mm-hmm.
and then you get a new sheep because you got lots of sheep. No big deal there. And so I think he just bullied his way in. It's sad.
I think that the dragon kind of has to be there because he's almost kind of like the bonus round.
How so?
Well, he's just kind of, you know, he's so powerful.
Mm-hmm.
He's so macho.
You're being very seductive with the language here. It's like this sounds like our other podcast, The Sensual Dragon.
Are you sure? Right.
Remember, we're doing Sneaky Dragon.
Well, okay, I'm sorry. Well, let's scratch off some of the topics I had here.
Yeah, the dragon, I mean, it looks like the other animals who get together and do things, but it's almost like when you have Superman on the Justice League, it's just like all the other guys just go, what am I doing here? Why do you need Aquaman? Why is Batman around? Why is Wonder Woman hanging out? You got Superman. He takes care of all the business. Same with the dragon. Dragon gets the job done. Just have it like all dragon all the time.
Don't you think it's kind of strange that on the Chinese New Year calendar, all the animals represent prosperity?
Yeah, because animals love money.
Oh, okay.
That's all animals love, money monkey.
Money monkeys, okay.
Yeah, that's a breed of monkey that only lives in China. Okay. The money monkey.
Money monkey.
And there
is penny panda.
There's the shekel sheep.
The shekel sheep. They only live in
That's right. What's that? No, that's also China. These are all China.
They're China.
That's right.
China.
That's the ruble rat.
The ruble rat.
That's in there.
Okay.
And
the ruble rat lives in?
In China.
Oh, it also lives in China.
They all live in China.
Okay.
This is in the...
I'm just curious.
This is in the...
Because they seem to represent international monetary...
Oh, yes, yes. But they all live in this one financial jungle in China. It's this financial jungle all of the
It's
animals,
the money jungle.
Yeah. It's a monetary jungle. That's right. And they put all the, and what they do is they put all the animals in there, and then they represent the financial system, and the different, finances of the world have to, the dollar dogs are there, both the Canadian and the American and the Australian dollar dogs, and they all fight it out. And and that's how they determine what finances.
So that's where Richie Rich got his dogs from, the Dollarmations.
Yes, that's right.
Oh, okay.
I thought you knew about Harvey Comics. Look, last week you claimed to be an expert on Harvey Comics, and
I didn't claim to be an expert. I proved myself to be an expert.
Oh well, I do stand corrected.
Yes, you do.
All right. Quick Harvey quiz. Name three rich people besides Richie Rich in the Richie Rich universe. Go.
His cousin Reggie.
Yes.
Made of Money.
Yes.
I don't know.
And Bulimia Buckington, which was the big girl.
You mean I could have just made up a name?
No. She had an eating disorder, but she would throw up money. And she was not a very popular character. Bulimia Buckington. Look,
I don't remember that character.
Hey, Dave, yeah. Who wrote a Casper movie here?
Yes, and who can remember part of it?
I didn't. I know. That was a thing we had last week where we brought up, like, Casper and, like, the ghostly trio. Are those his uncles? And I went, no, I don't think it is. And then I looked it up on Wikipedia and I went, well, according to this one movie, yeah, they sort of hinted that it was. And I went, oh, and it was a movie I wrote. So bad on me on that one.
Maybe you didn't write that scene.
You co-wrote it. Now I'm going to blame my co-writer, Roger Fredericks. Yeah, on that.
He wrote that sequence.
Indeed. But again, we're starting the new year off. We're starting Chinese New Year off well. Mm-hmm. Dave, I wish you prosperity. Also,
thank you.
Also, it's nice because this is episode number 8, and 8 is a prosperous number, a lucky number.
That's right.
Because it looks like the money snowman. The 8 looks like the money snowman.
Is that right?
And traditionally in Chinese New Year, what would happen is children at night would build a snowman.
Yes.
And then in the morning, they would rush out and money snowman would have money in his hands.
Okay.
And he would grab the money out of his little stick hands. And that's what would happen on Chinese New Year. That's how they celebrate.
I didn't know that, actually.
Well, that was until communism.
Oh, okay.
But now more, you know, they still do it a little bit, but it's back in the traditions.
Now, under communism, they ran outside and the snowmen were all lined up waiting for bread.
I don't think they ate a lot of bread.
Snowmen?
Are you thinking maybe rice?
Yeah, rice bread.
Oh, rice bread. Oh, no, that's good. Are they gluten-free? Is this what we're talking about?
I assume so. I guess in modern age
that is quite possible.
Yeah.
No, I understand. That's good. I do want to go back to my original point, though. I do not think mythological animals should be involved in calendars in any way. It just sets a bad example and unrealistic expectations for the year. You can live up to, say, a sheep. Mm-hmm. You can live a sheep-like year.
Yep.
You could live a rat-like year, but you cannot live a dragon-like year. That's unrealistic. You cannot, a human cannot fly, cannot breathe fire, but yet we could do sheepish things.
We could be sheepish. That's true. We could horse around.
That's right.
We could crow.
That's right.
We could be a rat.
We could have a frog in our throat. We
could have a frog in our throat. I don't think a frog is a frog in the calendar?
No, not on the, no. No, that's true.
There should be a frog.
There should be a frog.
Because I think, to me, frogs represent prosperity.
Then why are they always so miserable?
Frogs aren't miserable.
Yes, they are. Frogs are miserable. Have you ever
frogs
seen
it? They're jolly creatures.
Are they? Have you ever seen a happy frog? Name one happy frog. Sir? Sir, I put it to you, sir. David Dedrick, sir. Sir David Dedrick of Aldergrove. I put it to you, sir. Name a happy frog.
Name a happy frog. Kermit the Frog.
Kermit the Frog is miserable. Every song Kermit the Frog ever wrote is I'm bummed out. It's really tough being green. Oh man, I hope one day I find that rainbow connection. Until that, I'm a miserable, miserable frog in a pond. I'm totally sad. He's in an abusive relationship with a pig, not even his own species. And I know what you're going to say. You're going to say, how about the yay? How about that flowing the hands in the air?
Yep.
If you know anything about manic depression, that's Kermit's manic phase. And then seconds later, he's crashing low. He's crashing low. He couldn't be more depressed. It's sad. The guy, he doesn't take care of himself. He's clearly got high blood pressure. His eyes are popping out of his head. All the other frogs, nice, sensible, you know, eyes. Mm-hmm. He's got that weird slit in the middle.
Yeah.
You know, that's sign number one of horrible depression in the Muppet universe.
Wow.
Yeah.
So Kermit is the poster boy, or poster frog, I should say,
yes.
for manic depression.
Yes.
And so then would Oscar the Grouch be the poster boy for schizophrenia?
Does Oscar hear voices?
He lives
have you heard, by the way, Kermit the Frog in the song Rainbow Connection, have you been half asleep and have you heard voices? Schizophrenia. He's like admitting he's got schizophrenia. I hear them calling my name, telling me to kill, telling me to kill. You know, that's Kermit the Frog. But okay, go to your theory that Oscar is schizophrenic.
Well, I'm just thinking, you know, he lives in a garbage can.
Indeed he does.
He's homeless.
But who isn't on, like, it's a poor part of town, Sesame Street. Big Bird doesn't technically have, he's got a nest.
He has a nest, that's a home.
He lives outdoors.
He's a bird.
Where's Elmo live?
He lives in Elmo's world. He has a house.
Yeah.
With a fish tank in it.
Yeah. Isn't that all like crayon drawings?
Well, I'm not saying that his decor is very nice.
I don't think that exists. I think that's
fish isn't, the fish is real though. It's in a real fish tank.
Okay, well, a homeless person can have a fish.
No.
All right. A homeless person can't have a fish. I stand corrected.
No.
My mistake?
They cannot have a fish.
Okay. Because if you give a homeless person a fish, they will have a fish for a day.
That's
and
right.
If you teach a person to have a fish, they will open a fish store. And I don't know where I'm going with this. Does the fish talk?
In Elmo's world?
Yes.
I don't think so.
Boo.
Why?
Well, because why not?
How often do fish talk?
In the Muppet Land?
There's no talking animals in Muppet Land.
Excuse me?
There's talking monsters. There's no talking animals. Name one talking animal.
Kermit the Frog.
Okay, I stand corrected. There is one
Big
talking
bird.
Animal. There are two talking animals.
Little Bird.
Is there a Little Bird?
Yeah, Fozzie Bear.
There's four talking animals in the Muppet world.
Okay, that's right. All right, well done.
Okay.
All those chickens, I think, well, they don't technically talk, to be fair.
I just wanted a good talking point.
That's all right. No, it is a fine talking point. So Oscar the Grouch, I think, is actually pretty well adjusted. He's got a home. I mean, he's got a piano down there in the trash can. You know, his trash can actually is remarkably similar to Snoopy's doghouse.
It is, actually. That's one of the things I loved as a kid was Oscar the Grouch's his capacious garbage can with his.
Oh.
Yes.
Did he use that word?
I used that word. I just did now.
Okay. Because I know there was like a little Sesame Street one thing with like two kids once where I was like, what'd you think of that? It was interesting, well-seasoned, provocative. And as a kid, I always liked those expressions and I would use them and bring them out.
And
adults
punched.
Would go, wow, pretty
oh,
good.
Use it with adults. Don't use it with other kids.
No.
That just gets you punched.
Yeah, you get a punch in the face, smarty pants.
Yeah.
Yeah, hey, smarty boots.
Think you know so fucking much.
that's right.
Yeah.
But yeah, you got Snoopy. He had like a Van Gogh. He had a pool table. You know, the worst was when they actually showed the inside of his house in some of the specials.
Ooh, that's a mistake.
A total mistake. They made it a basement. It's like, no, it's not a basement. It's to the imagination.
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
Same thing with like Oscar.
Do you remember when he had the fire in the doghouse?
Yes.
He's like, my Van Gogh.
That's right. He lost his Van Gogh. I was reading an article about the Charlie Brown's Christmas. And something I found kind of interesting was, you know who did not like the jazz? Vince Guaraldi, is that the name of the fellow?
Yep.
Did not like his jazz score in the special.
Linus?
Nope.
Schroeder didn't.
Actually, that's a good guess. But Charles Schulz did not like the jazz.
Well, he was wrong.
Well, and I think that's proven that, like, he was wrong over time.
Like, he was right to fight for Linus's speech in the Christmas special, because that's like a special moment in that special.
Yeah, that's the point of it.
It's a great pivotal moment.
Yeah, and I think one of the problems with a lot of the other specials is they just stayed kind of bummed. You know, they were like a little depressed, and then they really, like, by the time Snoopy was getting married, did you see that one?
No, I did not see that one.
Oh, it's terrible. And they also
I bowed out at aerobic Snoopy.
Started having like adults in it too. You saw them in the background. It was like, what's this? Stop it.
No, that's wrong.
So where do you think the Peanut specials lost their way?
I think they lost their way. Personally, I would say that there are only two good ones, and that is the Christmas one, and then It's a Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown.
Oh, I see.
And after that.
So you're not a Thanksgiving person?
I don't really like the Thanksgiving one.
Okay.
I don't
All
like
right.
it. I don't like it.
Arbor Day, not pro Arbor Day.
I saw it once, and it taught me one thing, that the U.S. had a holiday called Arbor Day. I do not think they celebrated any longer in any official
that
way.
That really did seem like padding when they went like, it's Arbor Day, Charlie Brown.
Yeah,
like, really? Are we going to have Flag Day soon? I think they might have had Flag Day.
I don't remember Flag Day.
I think there
Day.
Was one with veterans.
The one that killed me as a kid, I have to kind of set up the story though, because it.
Please do.
It's.
By the way, everybody, Dave's going to set up the story.
Yeah.
So just settle down, everybody. Take a breath.
Come on, kids.
And Dave, please paint us a picture.
Just pull up the rocking chair. There's a chair for two to sit in and a big chair for some. Okay, anyway.
For someone who likes to rock. You got to finish it. Yeah, you got to finish the Friendly Giant thing.
Sorry.
Otherwise, I can't put up a clip of Friendly Giant on the webpage if you don't do the whole thing. For someone who likes to rock! There you go.
What was I talking about? Oh, yeah.
Oh, for God's sake. I love that. You know what? You're going to make an excellent grandpa. All right, kids. Let me paint you a picture. Let me set the stage. You all right? Settle down. Grandpa's got a story. Okay. So what was I talking about?
Well, this is me in high school. This is me in junior high school. I had a terrible flu that night. Mm-hmm. Like, I felt so sick. I had this horrible, like, pounding headache, but I really wanted to watch the Charlie Brown special. So I, like, you know, laid in a chair and I watched this special. And it was one, I don't know the name of it. I don't know if it was, It's Your First Kiss, Charlie Brown. Does that sound right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that something the right
that
one?
That is, there is one called okay. That Little Redhead Girl.
With a little redhead girl.
Who they later found out was the Red Baron.
Oh.
Yeah, the little redhead girl. That was revealed in kind of a Kaiser Soze type moment where Snoopy's looking at her and this real and sees her do something and she turns to like Snoopy and gives like a look.
Yeah.
It's like, oh! And so Charlie Brown's dog is trying to kill the one person that Charlie Brown loves. It was a very weird episode that I just made up.
It's the usual suspects, Charlie Brown.
That's right.
No, and in this episode,
and then Snoopy went, ah, anyway, go ahead.
In this episode, they're playing a football game and Charlie Brown is the field goal kicker. Of course.
He's very sporty.
And who is the placeholder?
Okay. Anybody but Lucy.
No.
Or Woodstock. Not Woodstock either. Too small.
Well, Woodstock would be cute because Woodstock would.
Oh, he's so cute.
He would fly over the post with his
but then little, his girlfriend would nurse him back to health. You ever see the episodes with his girlfriend? Her name was Lilith Fair. Yeah, those were great. So anyway,
and his enemy Altamont, is that his yep, rival?
There you go.
That's his evil rival.
That's right.
Okay,
don't try the brown bird seed, man. All right.
Yeah, that would work actually, because you could have an actual animal named Chipmunk.
Yep,
saying that.
Yep.
Anyway, yeah, guess who the place kicker was?
Well, that was Lucy, I suppose, right? Am I right?
Yes.
Well, that's absolutely wrong.
Yeah, absolutely
I see
wrong.
For comedic purposes where they're going with this. You want the worst case scenario.
No, you don't.
Okay.
No, you don't.
Please, who's the better
because,
place? You know who's a good place kicker? Pigpen, because then Charlie Brown would run up and not see the ball.
There we
too
go.
Too much filth.
They could have varied it. That would have been a better idea. There you go. You've already, you know, he could have that Schroeder do it, and Schroeder gets distracted. He's playing the piano instead of doing the ball.
Right. You could have Linus there, but Linus, unfortunately, he wrapped the ball around with his blanket, and now the ball just snaps back.
That's right.
In fact, you know what? Frankly, everyone is better than Lucy
in that scenario. Because really, you think that during the practices for the game, like they would practice, they are a team, they would have practices, that someone would notice that Lucy is always pulling the ball away from Charlie Brown. You think that someone would notice that. And so during these practices, you think that someone would notice the fact that the placeholder keeps pulling the ball away from the place kicker.
Mm-hmm.
That's like kind of a key, you know, key thing that's one of the main elements of holding the ball for the kicker is actually keeping it there for the kicker to kick the ball.
I can tell you why not, but please continue with your point and then I will counter it.
So, you know, so in the show, they're playing this big football game. It's like this big final or whatever, this championship game.
Right, while jazz plays in the background.
And it's this huge game and everything's on the line. And then Lucy, of course, pulls the ball away from Charlie Brown. Not just once.
Mm-hmm.
Not just twice.
Right.
But like three or four times or more times. It was so frustrating. And what made it worse was that I had this murderous flu. Like I just had this horrible flu that night. And
it was a flu that caused you to murder people.
Yes.
You were the high fever killer.
No, I was being murdered.
Of the 80s.
I was being murdered by this flu.
It was murdering you.
It was murdering
me.
So
it was a murder-suicide pact.
It was a murder-suicide. I had this pounding headache.
Okay.
Everything was pounding. I was pounding all over. It was just like my whole entire body.
I think
was like
we've all been teenage
mass.
Boys and we know
yes,
what you mean.
Yes, we know what we that's right. And I was so sick. And then I was watching this horrible
technically
thing.
We have not all been teenage boys. I apologize to our female listeners.
Yes. But even you have been a teenage boy female listeners.
In your heart of hearts.
I just want to be inclusive.
Please do.
And you know, I'm ghastly ill and I'm just watching this monstrosity, like the worst Charlie Brown special up to that point I'd ever seen.
Right.
I know there were later ones that are probably even worse. I closed the door at this point. I just shut the door on Charlie Brown specials after this point. The worst part of it though was
it's Guy Fawkes Day, Charlie Brown.
I was thinking to myself, well, this is horrible. This is one of the worst things I've ever experienced in my life. But at least tomorrow I can miss school because I'm so sick.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the morning I was perfectly fine. There was no trace of headache. No illness at all. I just
so you're
to
saying
anyway.
That this special cured you?
No, I'm not saying
it had,
this special
it had healing properties.
No, it could not.
It
have
could
done
cure
that.
Any disease, is what
no,
you're saying.
No, I'm not saying that at all. What
throw
I'm saying,
away the antibiotics, mother.
What I'm
just
saying
put
is,
on the special.
It was so horrible that it actually sped up the flu. It actually accelerated the flu, and instead of being a 24-hour flu, it made it into a 12-hour flu.
Yeah, the special was so bad that your flu went, well, I'm not watching this, and just
exactly.
took off.
Exactly. I don't blame it.
Yeah.
I don't blame it.
And it left you, as a flu does, in horrible, horrible ways. Well, let me explain to you what happens. Now, Lucy, this happens occasionally on a Charlie Brown special, where Lucy does something terrible and gets away with it. No one goes, get Lucy. Never, mm-hmm. no. never, never. And I'll tell you why.
Okay.
Because she's their psychiatrist, and she knows things. They have told her dark secrets that at the drop of a hat, she could spill the beans and just blow the lid off the Peanuts universe. She knows things that no one else knows. Okay. And so none of them can like speak word one against her and tell her, stop being such a crab apple. Stop being such a fuss budget.
Well, that's what I was going to say. I think that's actually more the reason is that she was a fuss budget.
Mm-hmm.
And when she was raging away, if anyone saw her, they'd be like, this is terrible. This person's awful. But then they would see, and she would have a little one of those bracelets, the medical alert bracelets, and it says fuss budget on it.
That's right.
And they're like, oh, she's a fuss budget. Well, that's okay. Fuss away.
Yeah.
Fussy.
Yeah, she can't help it. Here's one of my problems with Charlie Brown. Now, Charlie Brown's whole thing is a lonely kid. Mm-hmm. Ain't got no friends.
Okay.
Why's he got so many friends for someone who has no friends? Linus, clearly his best friend. Even Schroeder digs him. If he says, hey, let's go play something, what happens? He gets a whole team full of baseball players. He's got a dog that mm-hmm. likes him. Everyone likes him. And he's got Peppermint Patty and Marcy, both of whom have the hots for him. Everyone likes him. His sister likes him. The rerun, you know, admires him because he's got a dog. He's like the most popular kid in.
That's the tragedy of the show, though, or the cartoon.
Explain.
Well, he doesn't realize that.
Ah, so what you're saying is, oh, I see. All right, so he is not actually lonely. He's not really alone. Mm-hmm. He just thinks he's alone, mm-hmm. and that's very deep.
Thank you.
Wow, that is pretty good. There were the two most confusing points about Charlie Brown. Point number one: how does he get his shirt over his head?
Okay.
And point
that
number
confusing.
Very
stretchy material.
By the way, that is why you never see any of their mothers. They all died in childbirth with those enormous heads.
That's right.
The
that's
last
right.
thing you want to do is give birth to one of those things because
that's right. Well, that's what people say. Hey, if you gave birth to that, you would go mwah mwah for the rest of your life.
Yeah, no kidding. That's exactly right. But no, it was like last week when we were talking about Richie Rich, poor little rich boy, except he's got everything. Charlie Brown, he's all lonely and sad and mm-hmm. he's all depressed. Why? He's fine. Couldn't be better.
He's fine. But
yeah, he's the most well-adjusted of any of them.
He is horribly unlucky, though. And really,
how is he unlucky?
You're right that, well, I mean, his baseball team isn't exactly a roaring success.
I believe they did win the pennant one year. I believe they won the
pennant
one year. Yeah, and they almost always, here's the thing, they always get right to the finals and then they lose. You're good enough to get to there. You're fine. Like he's the Spelling Bee, that movie. Like, yeah, you were good enough. You got to the second. That's fine. That's not sad. That's fantastic. It's just like Charlie Brown, like a silver medal is a kick in the face.
I guess, well, that is the ultimate. Well, no, I guess you're right. I mean, but it does feel bad to come in second.
Does it?
Yeah.
Okay, fine. It's just like this guy seems to be good.
Do you know what I mean?
Well, yeah, but if you're
because
so
if you're
good at everything,
let's say you're in the Olympics.
To be fair, I'm Canadian and we love a silver medal. If we get a silver medal, we're like, woo, you got McCain ads forever.
If we had got a silver medal for men's hockey during the Olympics here, that would have been a disaster. That would have been like the failure of there would have been like Canada's failure, you know, on McLean's magazine.
Yeah, fair enough on that. Yeah, but you didn't expected us to do well.
Here's the thing, like, yeah, if you get silver, that means you lost the game.
Mm-hmm.
If you get bronze, that means you won the game.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So silver is kind of a bitter pill to swallow in that way.
There is a lot of wins to get to that lose, though.
I know. I'm just saying, like,
it's like Charlie Brown has a lot of good days that we don't seem to see that get him to this point where like, oh, and the last second, you know what? You know, second place is a fancy word for loser, you know? It's just like, you know, suck it up, Charlie Brown. You're actually good at everything. You're good enough to play football. If Lucy hadn't moved the ball, he would have been fine.
Yep.
He's great. He's good at sports.
Yep.
He's got a lot of friends.
He does.
He's good at spelling, apparently.
Sure.
I think his dog can drive a car. His dog's a novelist. His dog is a published novelist. Why doesn't Snoopy just type what he thinks? That always bugged me. It's just like, if you can write a damn novel, you know, why are we going, what are you saying, Snoopy? Well, get to your typewriter. You have a command over the English language.
I think that's imaginary, because by that logic, then he really is in France. When there's drawings of actual French sort of war scenery.
No, sir. And back me up on this, listeners. When Snoopy's having his fantasies and he's in France in World War I. Okay. Yeah. Fantasy. That's fantasy.
Okay.
Dog's got a vivid fantasy life. Sure, I got no problem with that, except with the exception of the little red haired girl who is the Red Baron. And now I've lost track of where I was going with that. Oh yeah.
You were talking about the
Snoopy fantasizes.
The backdrops,
right? He has a wild fantasy life, which is fantastic.
Yeah.
But when he is typing, Lucy criticizes his work and can read it. And
that is just his fantasy.
So that's his. Okay, well, let me ask.
She is not actually criticizing.
So what you are saying, David.
Who is the character most likely to criticize?
Wait, David. So what you are saying to me is that is just Snoopy's fantasy.
Mm-hmm.
Is all of this Snoopy's fantasy? Is Snoopy, in fact, still at the Daisy Hill puppy farm? He never got out. He never got out of the Daisy Hill puppy farm. And he has this wild, rich, amazing life, and that's why the specials get worse and worse, because he's getting older and he ain't getting quite right in the head.
Uh-huh.
And now all of a sudden he's getting married and there's adults and
he does jazzercise.
Yeah. He had that weird one where he was like a snow dog for a while, like a sled dog. Remember that?
No,
it's a Nightmare Charlie Brown. That was not too bad, actually. It's like he imagined.
I'm not watching them.
He has a dream. Yeah, it's all a dream. It's all Snoopy's dream. He never made it out of the Daisy Hill puppy farm.
I swore upon my
French
textbook.
He's in a puppy mill. That's the saddest thing ever, Dave.
I swore upon my French textbook in grade 8 to never watch another Charlie Brown special after that horrible...
Wow. Who do you think is more depressed, Charlie Brown or Kermit the Frog?
Charlie Brown.
Nah, Kermit the Frog.
Why?
Kermit the Frog.
Why?
Oh, he's got bills. He's never happy. Like the latest movie, I haven't really seen it yet, but like you see every clip of it, it's just like, everyone forgot us. I'm sad. We all broke up. Meh. He's just sad. He's just like bummed out constantly. He's not like, you know, they try and make him like the mascot coming out there. Hey, everybody. But he's not. He's not Mickey Mouse. Mickey Mouse always actually looks when like he's worried about losing his job. Mickey Mouse never looks comfortably happy. He always looks, hey, everybody, you having a good time? Everything's good, right? Things are great, right? Ha, 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 ha. Like he never seems happy in his own skin.
Well, he works for Disney.
Yeah.
I'm going
to
say.
He knew what happened to Oswald the Lucky Rabbit.
Yeah.
Oswald
wasn't so lucky.
No, he wasn't. Oh. And you thought like, Oswald, I'm top of the world. No one can, you know, and then boom, he got his walking papers.
Yeah.
Mickey came in and went, oh, no, I'm fine. You know, Mickey knows how to play ball.
Was Bugs Bunny developed as a competition for Oswald?
I don't think so. I think Bugs Bunny came in. And,
well after
Bugs Oswald? Bunny, Bugs Bunny came in. The original Bugs Bunny was not actually Bugs Bunny. It was like I think that magic one with the rabbit, which wasn't named. But then there was the original Bugs Bunny one. No, that came much later. I'll put some of those cartoons up. This is a good excuse to do that. No, Oswald was way before.
Oh, okay, I'm not too hip on the chronology there.
No, that's okay.
Sorry, everyone.
No, don't be sad at all. In fact, I was just playing a video game, a Mickey Mouse video game, and the idea behind it for the Wii was that Oswald, when he was forgotten, went to this other world where all the Disney characters that were forgotten ended up. And it was really kind of a dark plot line for a Mickey Mouse game.
What other characters were there?
Oh boy, that's a good question. It was like early drawings of some characters that kind of got rejected.
Oh,
but then you also had things like you had Smee there because they don't use him really. Like just real obscure.
Oh, Smee, I mean, he's a character in one movie.
Yeah, that's true.
That's why they don't use him anymore.
I think actually he is one of those. Smee's a weird character. Like, because Smee's the lovable guy that still kills kids.
Yeah, he's kind of weird.
He is kind of weird.
Because he has that really appealing kind of voice.
Yeah, it's like, oh, he's not that bad. No, he's worse because he's got a sense of morality, whereas Captain Hook,
this is
not
the
so much.
Monomaniac.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
No, I'll try and look up who the characters were, and I'll put a list of them up. But it was kind of a dark, interesting little video game. I kind of liked it.
Wow. Yeah, I don't know that one.
No, don't worry about it. It's okay.
Sorry.
No, it's okay.
All the characters from Silly Symphonies.
The rejected.
Dancing Flowers.
Now, which came first, Merry Melodies or Silly Symphonies?
Silly Symphonies.
Okay.
Merry Melodies was an attempt to compete with Silly Symphonies, I believe.
Okay.
And I'm not going to swear on that.
All right.
So don't put a stack of Bibles in front of me, because I will not swear on a stack of Bibles. But
okay. And where did Crazy Concertos fall into that?
Crazy Concertos?
Yeah.
They came after Silly Symphonies and after Merry Melodies.
Okay. Where did Bipolar Bebop, where did that go?
Bipolar Bebop came well after Crazy Concertos.
Okay. And where did... No, I can't go anymore. I was going to go, where did Oedipus Jazz Fusion? I had nothing. I had absolutely nothing. I kept trying to do it. Basically, the point of all
jolly,
of them...
Jolly Jazz Fusion.
Basically, the point of all of them back then was, trees like to dance.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah, trees like to do a little bopping around, and then like a cow will walk by, and they're all bouncing, and everyone's bouncing, and it was a very bouncy, bouncy world.
And then everyone makes a big fuss about Fantasia, and you're just like, well, this is just kind of like a high-class silly symphony.
Mm-hmm. Was it really high class? I guess it was kind of high
class. It's supposed to be high class. Anyway, it's supposed to be high class.
It's weird, actually, when you watch Fantasia and kind of go, yeah, I don't think you could do that now. I don't think you could release a Disney film now and have, like, I think, you know, one of the first things be, oh, here's what the devil's up to one night. Here's what he gets up to.
Night on Bald Mountain?
Night on Bald Mountain, yeah. That's freaky.
Okay. I thought you were going to say, I don't think you could do, like, a movie like Fantasia. And I was thinking, wasn't there Fantasia 2000 or something?
There sure was.
I think I enjoyed that.
That was the one with the whales and they had the Hirschfeld type stuff. Yeah.
With the Rhapsody in Blue.
That one went into the Disney vault, did not come out of the Disney vault.
It did?
No. They haven't, like, you know, they always do, really? Like, this is going into the Disney vault. Yeah. Playing.
And
like,
every 8 years they release the...
Yeah, this one, Fantasia 2000 did not come out.
Are you sure?
Sir? I am not sure. Sure.
Someone will correct us, I'm sure, if they think we're wrong.
That's the point of putting stuff on the internet, is because we want to be corrected.
Because it did come out on video, like VHS tape. Mm-hmm. We have that.
Because
the girls were of an age at that time that it was great, you know, they could watch movies over and over again. They still can do that. It's interesting because now there's this whole generation that, like, is different than, like, for me, if I watch a movie, unless I really like it, I will never watch that movie again.
Oh, okay.
Do you know what I mean?
All right.
I might catch it on TV or something and maybe watch it a little bit, but I'm not that interested in watching the same movie over and over again.
Okay, how many times have you seen Star Wars?
Twice.
That is not much.
Not at all. I saw it in the theater.
Raiders of the Lost Ark, how many times?
I saw Star Wars twice in the theater. That's why I've seen it
twice. Wow, so you have not seen it on television ever.
And what's interesting is I saw it in Vancouver,
right,
opening week,
right,
at the big theater, the Vogue Theater in Vancouver on Granville. I saw it almost a year later in Cloverdale, near the end of its run. It had sort of moved out away from Vancouver in the sort of, you know, perimeter sweep, and it ended up way out in the boonies. In those days, that really was out in the country.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where
the movie they were showing as well was The Boonies.
That's right. The Boonies
they
was
were
there.
Showing that one. Yeah. Which was the predecessor to The Goonies, of course.
Yeah. Were you going to say, sorry, what about?
Oh, I was going to go, what about Raiders of the Lost Ark? How many times have you seen that?
Probably two times as well.
Wow. I have seen that a dozen times if I've seen it once.
There's a lot of movies to watch that aren't Raiders of the Lost Ark or Star Wars.
Wow. Wow.
Why?
It is very different. Like, you know, movies that, you know, I like, I have seen many times, and if I'll just, you know, something like if there's like a Buckaroo Banzai on TV, I'll stop and I'll watch the whole darn thing. Or like Raiders of the Lost Ark, I will watch. Though I have only seen Temple of Doom, maybe I've seen like once.
I've seen it once.
Yeah, I didn't like it.
I liked it a lot.
Oh, don't like it. Just too cruel. And the okay. Gal was dumb. And it was just like, well, Indiana Jones shouldn't be with a dumb gal. And she's not having a good time. She's miserable for the whole thing. And they're eating monkey brains and the guy burns slowly alive. And it's just boo. Also,
that had some fun moments.
Also, big problem with that for me is like, you go with, because that's a prequel, right?
Yes.
So you got Indiana Jones. Now, Indiana Jones in Raiders is just like, he's a man without faith. You know, he doesn't believe in things. He doesn't believe, you know, and by the end, he finds his faith. Well, you just went to Magic Land and you saw all this stuff happen. A guy take the heart and make the flame and all this kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then what's the big deal about the Ark of the Covenant, you know, later? You're not that guy. That is not a prequel to that movie.
Well, I think his growing is he learns to like Jews in Raiders of the Lost Ark. That's his character arc.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I didn't read that. Because Steven Spielberg was the director.
Yeah, I guess he started
to like the director as things went.
Maybe so.
Like it works for me. Like in the third film, where you know his dad's a bit of a jerk, mm-hmm. and he's got to do that like walk of faith or whatever on the you know the invisible bridge, and he's got to believe it. And it's like, okay, this guy knows the Ark of the Covenant is real. He saw God kill a bunch of people.
Okay.
He's on board. It's actually weird when he goes. Like, I got to have a lot of faith. You didn't see, but you know some stuff went down.
Yeah,
you know what's going on.
Okay.
But it doesn't make any sense with Temple of Doom if he knows all this stuff exists and then you go into Raiders next. Nope, boo, doesn't work.
Maybe he just explained it away. He's like, oh, it was all tricks. It was done with mirrors.
Yeah. That's what he thought? Like everyone?
Yeah, like he thought, you know, there's probably a rational explanation for this.
Okay, well, what would have worked with that is if at the end he went, you know, I bet there's a rational explanation for all this.
Yeah.
Nope.
He didn't say that?
No, because you mean like in the Temple of Doom?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, maybe. Okay. You could do that, but that scene did not occur.
Okay, I saw it once. I saw the other one. What's it called again? The Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade?
Nope.
Lost Crusade?
No.
Lost Thing?
Nope.
The thingy on the roof?
Nope. It's Indiana Jones and Jurassic Park.
Indiana Jones and the Love Bug?
That's right.
Okay.
That's right. It's Indiana Jones and the Love Bug.
And in that movie, with the Volkswagen. And
how many times can movies go with the idea that the car is alive?
A lot.
A lot. Because it's quite a charming idea. Sometimes you can make it a love bug. Sometimes you can make it a killing car.
Yeah.
Sometimes you can, you know. That to me just seems like the laziest of writing. That is, you're on your way to the movie studio as a writer, and then you realize the idea you had. It's like, oh, damn it, that's Citizen Kane. I totally ripped off Citizen Kane. Okay, look, don't panic. Don't panic. Just think of something. Think of something. Anything's fine. What's around me? Write what you know. Write what you know. Fuck, I live in my car. The car. Okay, the car. The car's alive. What if it loves you? It loves you. That's great. Okay, but yeah, it loves, and he pitches the love bug, and there you go. Or the car. The car hates me.
Herbie doesn't love Dean Jones. He helps Dean Jones find love.
Oh.
That's why he's the love bug.
So he's the matchmaker. He's the Yenta.
Yeah, he gets like Barbara Feld or whoever the other
actor. Barbara Feldman from Get Smart?
I can't remember who the love interest is in Herbie the Love Bug. I think it is Dean Jones, though.
Dean Jones is, if you can't get your Jimmy Stewart, you get your Dean Jones back then. He is the Pepsi to Jimmy Stewart's Coke.
And Keenan Wynn is Alonzo Hawk, a character he played in other movies.
Mm-hmm.
And then it has another actress whose name I can't, an older actress playing the Helen Hayes, playing the owner of the firehouse.
I would like you to do audio commentary on the movie with that kind of thing. And here's a lady.
I don't know.
Looks like she knows she's talking about.
Once again.
Seems to be his boss.
I saw that movie one time.
Oh, well, the Herbie. The
It's pretty amazing. I can remember that.
All right. Did you see any of the sequels? Did you see a Herbie Goes Bananas?
No.
It's a Herbie Goes Bananas and
Herbie Goes to Monte Carlo.
Herbie Goes to Monte Carlo.
And then there's Herbie Rides Again. The second one was Herbie Rides Again, which I did see.
Okay. I kind of get Herbie Rides Again. You got a hit film. What's Herbie doing now? He's riding again. I'm with you. Mm-hmm. Herbie Goes to Monte Carlo. That's just the crew wants to go to Monte Carlo.
Well, who can blame them?
I can, because now you brought us
along. Monte Carlo has a famous race.
Okay,
makes sense. It's a car and a car race in Monte Carlo.
All right. All right. No need to bite my head off.
They probably got some money from Monte Carlo for going there.
Now, Goes Bananas, was that Going to Hawaiian?
Do not know. I never saw it.
Okay. How about the only reason I know this is because I haven't seen these, but when I was a kid, and again, whenever we say when we were a kid, you take a drink, we had those Scholastic books come to our school, and you could like pick books to buy, and the parents
would still have them.
All right. But then everyone would want the books that are based on movies because they had like a bunch of pictures in the middle, and that was pretty cool. And so like they always had the Herbie books, and one of them was the Herbie Goes Bananas.
Okay.
But I'm not sure if it was Hawaiian, because there's a lot of people back then. If you ran out of ideas, eventually you would go bananas or go Hawaiian. That's just what you did.
They were separate.
Mm-hmm.
Do they grow bananas in Hawaii?
That's a good question. I don't see why they wouldn't. That is a good question.
I don't really associate Hawaii with bananas.
No, well.
I think of them as more like a Caribbean or Central American.
Good point.
Crop.
They do enjoy a pineapple.
Well, they do. I'm not saying they don't grow pineapples.
Right.
If it was Herbie Goes Pineapple, then I would be like, yeah, Hawaii.
But though a Hawaiian pizza. Oh, no, it doesn't have banana on it. That has pineapple. Yes, my argument is completely
the
wrong.
The famous Hawaiian ham and pineapple. Wait, no, there's no pineapple on it? It's banana?
No.
Ham and banana.
That's right.
That sounds really unappealing.
It does. But if you called it a ham nana, then it would have a catchy name, but still be a terrible tasting pizza.
Yeah.
Bananas are disturbing.
Ham and amana pizza.
Ham and amana. Ham and amana. Ham and amana. Did you know that Jim Henson took that song? Like, why he used that song was he saw it in this kind of sexy film.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's like sort of a lots of ladies having naked fun. And he liked the song and then used it for the Muppets before the Muppet Show.
Yeah, yeah.
And
it was the one I've seen most often is from the Ed Sullivan Show.
Yes.
Was the original. Yeah.
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 But yeah, good for him going, seeing like a softcore porno and getting a classic bit that we all enjoy.
Yeah. He's like, I am curious green.
See, now maybe that would cheer up Kermit. I'm just worried about the guy. Like, the guy really, in the latest film, worries me for the Muppets. They all seem to just be like, I don't know anymore. I don't know. Just bummed.
Well,
just bummed.
Isn't that kind of where they are, though?
Mm-hmm.
Like, doesn't that kind of capture the zeitgeist for Muppets at this point?
But wouldn't it be? It's just such a weird idea. It's like you wouldn't walk in on, again, Mickey Mouse and just see him just like sitting on a porch whittling and just like looking with that 1,000-yard mouse stare.
Well, no, because now Mickey Mouse would be behind a giant desk, you know, firing people.
True.
That's where Mickey Mouse
is
now.
Mickey Mouse would not be a bad Republican candidate.
He would probably, he would be more respectable than any of the ones that are, that I've heard are, really, I can't speak to any of them because I haven't paid a lick of attention to them.
No, but I can see, like, he's got a lot of the values, but he's also rich. You know what I mean? I think he would not be bad. You know, I think his voice would be a little too high pitched. I think he'd have to, like, you know, they'd have to like bring it down a little bit because he plays a little too fey.
Yeah.
And there is of course the race issue, which is he is basically a minstrel character that they've tried to de-minstrelize over time.
And
he's still got the gloves.
He's also a Mormon.
That's true.
Which is
That's right, because they had that book in the 50s, Mickey Mormon.
Mickey Mormon, yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
You know, my golden plates, you know.
Do you know?
It's no crazier than any other faith. And do you know the first person that believed him? Goofy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of course he did.
Yeah. Goofy. Oh, this makes sense.
This all's reasonable to me.
But you know, that was the problem with Goofy. He was always like, I'm not saying Mormonism is a cult. I'm not at all saying. But Goofy was very prone to joining cults. Like, Goofy, remember in the 70s when Goofy joined the Moonies?
That's right.
For a while there?
Yeah.
Yeah, and then
that's where the movie's about, Goonies.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, because Goofy and the Moonies,
yeah.
And then later on, he became part of EST for a while, and he just went, it's achieving my full potential. You know, it's just like, if you can dream it, you can be it. Yep.
Yep, that was Goofy.
But luckily they always had to like send Donald Duck to like break him out and then just like deprogram him, and it was just so harsh.
Yeah.
It was it was so sad, and they had to build him up again. Yeah.
Poor Goofy.
Poor Goofy.
Well, of course, Goofy was a member of the Manson family, which a lot of people don't talk about. But, you know, that once again, he kind of got roped in with the charismatic leader.
Yeah.
You know, him and Tex Watson, you know, offing that drug dealer.
Yeah.
I guess.
It's nice to be part of a family.
That's right.
Well, that was the thing was.
This is all helter skelter.
Yeah. You know what not a lot of people know? And, you know, maybe I'm telling tales out of school here, but.
Well, we aren't in school, so technically.
That is true. But, you know, all life is learning.
Mm-hmm.
Charles Manson respected Goofy a lot and said to Goofy, Goofy, would you mind going down to the tattoo parlor and pick a tattoo for me? And Goofy, gosh darn it, he did not make it there. And he came back and went, plum forgot. And he just, first thing out of his head, a swastika. And that's why Manson carved that on.
That way? Okay.
Just because Goofy, and Manson went, I trust you. I trust you, Goofy.
Mm.
And boom, that's where the swastika came from.
Well, you know, we are talking a little out of school here because the Disney lawyers, of course, work overtime to kind of hush up Goofy's part of the whole.
Wait a second. Disney has lawyers?
I think so.
Are they litigious? Should we be talking about this kind of thing? Did I say Goofy? I meant Dippy Dog, the public domain character that looks a lot like Goofy.
Okay.
That used to be Goofy. Dippy Dog is what I mean.
No, I think that you can say whatever you want, but at the end of it, you just have to say, I'm just saying.
That's true.
Then it's okay.
Yeah.
So, you know, if it comes to court and, you know, they say, well, you said this about Goofy, blah, 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 you'll point out that at the end of it, you'd said, I'm just saying.
Yeah, that's right.
And then everything's
okay. Or so I've been told.
Or so I've been told. Yeah,
that's right. Yeah, you know, one thing I did respect about Goofy was he did not end up dating anyone that looked just like him.
Unlike, say,
everyone else in the Disney universe,
Clarence the cow.
Everyone. Mickey Mouse just dates a female version of himself. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Donald
He's
Duck.
He's a narcissist.
Yeah, they're all narcissists.
Yeah, they enjoy looking in a mirror.
But the problem with that is, hey, Mickey, you bring your own self hatred to this person now, and now they're paying for sins that you've committed.
This is getting deep.
It is.
Yeah.
You know, that's got to be his first lady if he runs for, like, you know, the GOP.
Mm-hmm. I'm hoping he does. Because right now, the whole Republican thing seems like the beginning of the old American Idol.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it feels like. Yeah. You know, like the whole.
But no one is criticizing them there. Like when I watch it, I'm like, bring the judges from CHOP and just go, well, that stinks. That's no good. Like, you're just at the end, just like give them that. Yeah. And you know what? If you're going to have Mickey there, I would say Mickey for the Republican Party. I would say Kermit for the Green Party.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think who would be like a good Democrat. You know, that'd be Bugs Bunny. He seems kind of a screw around type guy.
Okay.
Yeah, I'd go for him.
No,
for
I
like
know
a
who would be better for the Democrats?
No.
Droopy.
Oh, Droopy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Make you feel a little guilty about mm-hmm. stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. How about Libertarians? Who's a good Libertarian?
Libertarian would be Daffy Duck.
Do you think so? Yeah. I was thinking... No, I was thinking Yosemite Sam, but no, I'll go with that. Yep, Daffy Duck.
Yosemite Sam is definitely a member of the Tea Party.
Yes. Yeah, he does. Yeah, they're plumb full of good ideas. What cartoon character would be in the Occupy movie?
What cartoon character? Oh, that's a good question. Thinking now, Tweety Bird.
Yes. Nope, that, I agree with that.
Okay.
Yeah, Todd, I saw a lot of things, that I can now unsee. Yep, that's right. Now that works. Okay. I think we filled out the American system. No, that's good.
With cartoon characters. We've solved it all.
That's right.
Good night, everyone.
We've done our job.
We've done it again.
But then, you'd have Mickey being like real hardline about family values, mm-hmm. but then some old tapes would show up of him and Fritz the cat getting some trouble in business. But then he'd come back and just like, but he's found religion and is, you know, after he's rejected Fritz, mm-hmm. and Fritz is like, I saw him last week, and they got to like shut Fritz up.
Yeah.
Give him a lot of hush money and get Fritz out of there.
Well, Fritz is dead. He had a nice pick to the head, so he doesn't have to worry about any of those things.
Okay. Is he dead or cartoon dead? Like, does that mean there's now like nine of them with like little wings and they're all around?
He is dead.
Okay. Because we've been fooled by that before. You think you've killed a cartoon cat. You've mm-hmm. just made yourself, you know, nine more bits of trouble. What happens? Okay. Now I've seen many a cartoon where Sylvester dies at the end and like has like the wings.
Yeah.
What happens if, say, Tweety Bird dies? Does he get a spare set of wings? Do birds yes. in bird heaven get extra wings?
He actually gets a beanie, like a helicopter.
Oh, that's good. That oh, no, that does make sense.
Yeah.
Okay. Once again, Tweety Bird has kind of the same head problem as Charlie Brown.
That's right. But he doesn't wear any clothes, so he doesn't have to worry about it.
How do you know?
Whereas Charlie Brown has to pull up his shirt from the bottom up. That's how he gets dressed.
Oh, that is a painful way. You know what? I'd say that's why he's so depressed. If you had to get dressed and the only way to get your shirt on in the morning is to get it from the bottom up,
mm-hmm.
that's painful. That is a hard way to start the day.
Yeah.
I can see why he is so depressed. But as we now know, it's all a dream Snoopy's having.
Yeah.
At the Daisy Hill Puppy Farm as he gets older and older.
Well, it's basically
lying alone in a corner.
I don't even think I'll say that. I think like Penis World is kind of like the Matrix.
Okay. Yeah. I thought you said Penis World is like
Penis
the Matrix.
World. That's right. I probably did. My, you know, my elocution. I'm taking elocution lessons for doing podcasting, but I'm not quite there yet. I'm just sort of, I have a teacher, Henry Higgins.
Oh, okay.
He's helping me out quite a bit. So I can say Hartford, Harrisshire, and Hampshire. Sorry, hurricanes hardly ever happen.
That's right.
In somewhere.
He's got some controversial ideas about women and why they should be more like a man.
He does.
Yeah, which is why he only dates transsexuals.
We don't talk about it very much.
Oh, no, you shouldn't.
No.
Henry Higgins does sound like an old Marvel character.
Does it?
Yeah. Got that alliterative ha-ha type thing, which they used to do in Marvel. You think like, oh, it's a stylistic choice. No, they just couldn't remember names real good. So, you know, you read early Spider-Man comics and Peter Parker became Peter Palmer quite a bit.
Okay, yeah, that's right. That's
and there's
right.
even a famous one where they forgot the name of Spider-Man and Dr. Octopus is holding him up and like, you know, I've got you now, Superman. And that just flew through.
Yeah, so there was Electro and then Henry Higgins, he became Elocution Row.
I can't endorse that joke. I'm looking for a wrap-up for the show,
that's
and I was
it.
Really hoping. I was going to like, I'm going to put all my money on that joke that's coming up. All right, let her ride. What do we get? Electrocutiono. Ooh, that. Oh. Who bet on red? Who bet on black? No one bet on green.
please, sir. Every ending of the show, we end in some sort
of. I'm gonna go, please, sir. Can I have some more?
We always end in some sort of miserable wrap up. So what the hell? Why not just keep up?
Fair enough.
Tradition, people.
Fair enough.
I'm a conservative by nature.
Okay.
And I like tradition.
Okay. I wish you were more conservative about those jokes. Keep them to yourself. Little liberal.
Not going to happen.
Okay.
A little too liberal.
No, no. It'd be a very short podcast if that was going to happen, which I think is wrapping us up. If you've got any opinions about cartoon characters and what political parties they would affiliate themselves with, especially Canadian politics. We didn't really go that much on Canadian politics. But if you can – and boy, if you can associate like a Canadian cartoon character with a Canadian, you know, politics thing, I'd say Socred's Peter Puck. I'm just going to throw that out there right now. Socred's Peter Puck.
Really?
Yep.
Wow.
Takes a hard line.
That's obscure.
Hard line on things. Then please write on our message board either our SneakyDragon.com, www.SneakyDragon.com,
yep,
or our Facebook board. I don't think we have a Twitter yet.
Not really.
Not really. That's right. We do and we don't. We'll get that up and running at a certain point. But the more that you write us, the happier we are. It's nice to have a little talky talk with you. We enjoy hearing from you. We think you're all swell.
That's right. We always read them and then we go, thanks for noticing.
That's right. Because Dave is half Eeyore.
That's right.
Or Mr. Snuffleupagus. I don't know what voice that is.
That's right.
That could be either and or either. If you're in Vancouver and you want to come see a show that I'm doing, I do a stand-up comedy show every Friday called Amuse Bouche at Slickety Jim's Chat and Chew. Once a month, we do a show called Titmouse over at the Cosmic Zoo here in Vancouver. And I am touring with Mr. Roman Danilo doing some sketch comedy all around the Lower Mainland for the next 2 weeks. So check romandanilo.com. If you want to come and see any of those shows, we may be coming to your neck of the woods.
Cool.
If we actually aren't playing the woods at all. It's just cities and towns. No woods.
No woods.
No. Oh, yeah. We've been fooled before where it's like, hey, you want to go and do a show? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just meet me in the woods.
Yeah.
And that never goes well.
No, it doesn't. Ever.
Yeah. It's very easy to end up in what they call a murder hole.
Well, everyone knows that if you go into the woods today, you're in for a big surprise.
Oh, what was that?
The Teddy Bear's Picnic.
Well, thanks for ruining the surprise.
Sorry.
Have a little spoiler space next time, Teddy Bear Ruiner.
I'll leave a little gap.
Okay. That's the end of our show. Thanks again for listening. I'm Ian Boothby.
And I'm David Dedrick.
All right.
Goodbye, everyone.
If you go out in the woods today, you better not go alone. If you go out in the woods today, you'll be chewed into bones. Because teddy bears will kill you, and then they'll chew and chew and chew. Because teddy bears are Satan, and they'll kill you.